Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we have a Millennial Music Chat with the Tin Man.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Do you ever just want to blow up your life and chase that dream that you've always felt that you were born to do? Well, that's the path that this week's musical guest, the Tin Man, has been chasing all his life. Growing up, the Tin Man, or his real name, Marshall Cease, always dreamed of becoming a singer, but the practicality of life drew him to law school and then later his own law practice. Still, he always had that burning feeling that he was not made for the cutthroat business of law, so the Tin Man was born out of the need to satisfy that creative yearning that always plagued him. Plus, the music business is a much safer bet, right? Listen to our chat with singer-songwriter the Tin Man as he chatted about his new single, Can You Feel My Love, how he'd love to write music just like Tom Petty, and how it's okay to blow up your life from time to time, as long as you're chasing your dreams. Well, thanks for coming on the show all the way from Atlanta. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Excited to be here.
Awesome. So when I first heard about you, I was really drawn to your stage name, but Tin Man. But once I watched your introduction video and your website, I was really intrigued. Tell us about your evolution from performing in musicals as a kid to going to law school and becoming a lawyer to where the direction that the Tin Man is going and recording music now.
Yeah. You know, it's... I kind of tell people I'm living life backwards in a way. I grew up, you know, in a relatively musical household. My mother has a phenomenal voice and was a trained opera singer. So she got me playing piano at a very young age and singing in church musicals and school musicals and then that sort of thing. So music's always been a part of my life. But, you know, despite kind of their own kind of creativities, neither one of my parents pursued necessarily a creative lifestyle as employment. And I think it's natural for any parent to want their children to be secure and, you know, and have the best opportunity for that kind of financial stability. Right.
Right.
So they're very pleased when I kind of got through college and decided that I wanted to go to law school. And even though I played a little bit of music through college, it was always just kind of a passion and a hobby. And my close circle of friends, you know, wasn't a group that was looking to pursue the creative arts professionally either. So it just wasn't something I was particularly exposed to as a viable way of life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, people more go for a job or even a career as opposed to something to really chase a dream.
Mm-hmm. I mean, despite like, you know, when you graduate college, there's, you know, assuming that you're not in an insane amount of debt, can be a great time to go do that.
Right.
But instead, I decided to go get into a lot of debt.
So where is the evolution of actually, you know, that, you know what, music is not only your passion, but it's what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah. So when I was in law school, I started to play more gigs. I started to write more music, and it started to hit me in a way that it never really had before. And I did my first kind of crude little EP recording while I was in law school. And I thought, hey, you know, this is something I really love and might want to do this professionally. So that desire grew throughout law school. And then when I graduated, I went to the University of Michigan for law school and, got cold, came back to Atlanta afterwards. started my practice, and I was doing kind of intellectual property law, mostly in the technology field, but there were a lot of applications to entertainment and music too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the financial freedom of the salary let me kind of invest in music in a way that, you know, a lot of other people couldn't. So I was able to, you know, fund recording some of my songs and, you know, buying gear that I needed. Mm-hmm. But in that world, I mean, I was spending, you know, crazy hours working as an attorney, and I would try to play music at night. Mm-hmm. And somehow I think I had the skewed vision that, oh, I'm just going to be whisked away to stardom. Someone's going to magically see me play and think I'm the greatest thing ever. And I'll be signed to a record label and yeah. And life doesn't work that way.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/ETM.
So it was a couple years into the practice of law that I decided I did not like the big law firm life. It wasn't cut out for me. Mm-hmm. I did not have any support for pursuing, you know, creative hobbies at the firm. And so I decided to kind of leave and start my own firm, which was my first kind of entrepreneurial endeavor. So a couple clients stuck with me, ended up joining forces with a couple of the partners, bringing on some more clients. And it allowed me to spend, you know, less time actually practicing law and a little more time on music. So, you know, it went from, you know, kind of 90% law, 10% music to more like 75% law, 25% music. And, you know, still with the same kind of delusion of grandeur. And then there came a point to where I'd kind of built up this life that I think every, you know, parent wants for their child. I had this incredible job. I was general counsel. Now I sold out of my law firm and gone in-house with a client of mine. So at a young age, I was general counsel of this large global consulting company. And I was engaged. I had a beautiful house in Atlanta, a darling cat. And, you know, from the exterior, everything, they're the American dream, right?
Right, right.
But I was miserable. And it had nothing to do with any of the pieces of my life. They were all my fiance was an incredible person. The cat was amazing. The house was great. The job was, you know, you couldn't ask for a better legal job. But it just wasn't what I was supposed to be doing with my life. And that became very, very evident. So, so I ended up kind of, you know, and ending all of those things in a very short period of time. At the time when I kind of broke off the engagement, rented out the house, and, you know, started talking to my boss about leaving my job, I had an idea for a music-based video game company. And I was torn because when I was like, I was making the big leap to do something non-legal for the first time in my life. And it was either to pursue my music or to pursue this company idea. And when I sat back and thought about it, you know, one of the beauties of music is that it's timeless. But a crazy harebrained scheme for a music-based video game company that would inspire people to create music via, you know, Facebook, mobile, and web games seemed like it had a shelf life.
right.
And we had picked up some traction. I'd gotten a team kind of sold into the idea, starting to kind of build the product. Investors were starting to take it seriously. And I knew, you know, from my experience as an attorney that you have to kind of dive in all the way in whatever it is that you want to try to be successful in.
Sure.
So I decided once again to kind of put music on hold and focus on the corporate life. Now, 5 years of raising angel capital, venture capital, releasing 5 products, you know, working for years to partner with all the major record labels and major music publishers and run a team of 13 people, you know, building this product was an insane life experience. You know, if you watch that HBO show Silicon Valley, like that was my life.
Exactly.
And there was a point to where I tried to do music again and go on. And I went on a tour through the Midwest and I ended up having to cancel the second half of it and fly right back because there was just no way. It was it commanded my entire life. But it was the first time that I was excited about the thing that I was doing. And what it taught me was any business to be successful or to build it, A, takes a way more time than you think it's going to take.
Right.
And I mean, just learning simple kind of entrepreneurial lessons, like it's really all about the people. It's about building the right team. It's about focusing on the product, figuring out what your demographic and your market is, testing, revising again.
Right.
And what it takes to build a business. So 5 years into that, we essentially kind of sold half the company to another gaming company. But then that gaming company, took a very different focus about 6 months after that, where, you know, the rest of kind of what we were doing, was essentially kind of taken away from us. And we were left in a position without operating capital and in a half finished product. So that was traumatic for me. And I lost a relationship that I was in at the time at the same time and basically had a nervous breakdown and decided that I was going to go to Spain, hike the Camino de Santiago, and try to figure out what I was supposed to do.
Right.
I didn't get any answers, but when I came back, what I did get was a blueprint for how to live life in a more meaningful way. And it literally has revolutionized my approach to life. And then, you know, coming back from that, looking at my music again, at this point in time, I was writing pretty heartbreaking stuff.
Right.
And I was like, man, I feel like I had my heart ripped out from me and I'm just on a quest for a new heart. And then it was that aha moment. Oh my gosh, I'm the Tin Man. And I just resonated with that plight. And I've always loved literary allusions. I named my company Mowgli because of the allusion to the Kipling book.
Right, right. So why did you develop the Tin Man, though, that sort of persona?
I had been doing music in the past under my name or some iteration of Marshall Cease. One silly thing, anytime somebody would ask me, oh, what band are you in? I really hated answering with my name.
Sure.
But more than that, I wanted a name that could be just me or it could be a band and a group of people. And also something that when you heard it brought to mind a picture that aligned with the music, you know, that when you hear the music, you understand the name and that, you know, it gets you on that path. You know, it's wasn't going to call myself, you know, the Metallic Darkness.
Right.
It just wouldn't work
for
my style of music.
Right.
That was kind of how that came to be.
That's awesome. So when you were listening or making mixtapes as a kid, who were you listening to that kind of influenced how you wanted to become, what the kind of singer-songwriter you wanted to become?
Yeah. You know, that's a great question because I think for the majority of my career prior, or all of my career prior to the Tin Man, I was actively trying to be something very specific. And it wasn't until I really kind of took on the Tin Man moniker that I let all of that go. And I said, I'm not creating music for, you know, any specific reason aside of from just getting what is inside of me out. And now that I've done that, it's far more authentic, far more genuine. And it's also kind of showing me where my influences truly are. And what I've noticed, you know, my parents had a record collection when I was growing up. Although I will say that it wasn't the record collection most kids would dream of. So I had limited options, but the golden nuggets that were there were the Beach Boys. And I fell madly in love with the Beach Boys growing up as a kid. The harmonies, just, you know, and the melodies, something that was pop, but still artistic. And then the same thing with Simon and Garfunkel and Paul Simon. And that was what I grew up on. Then I went through a period of REM obsession when I was in high school. Remember the BMG Columbia House 1 cent, right. 10 CDs?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did. Much to my parents' chagrin, I did that, and I used it to get every single REM album that was out.
Nice.
You know, from there I became obsessed with U2. From there, I became obsessed with Vertical Horizon, of all bands.
Nice.
And then I became obsessed with John Mayer. So I think all that stuff is, you can see it in the music.
Right.
You know, probably one of the artists I most idolize, who I'd love to write music like, would be Tom Petty. I think there's a pop sensibility, but there's without sacrificing artistic integrity and just doing something that is so simple, but so powerful. I think that's the hardest part is making art that is simple enough that it resonates to a broad audience and it still has that artistic integrity.
Right.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into The Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to The Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in The Daily Book Club.
Well, and you mentioned too before that you were writing kind of darker music when you're kind of going through a darker time. But when I was actually listening to your current music, it really sounds hopeful to me. A lot of the lyrics are kind of really hopeful. Describe also your sound. Like, what do you kind of consider your music to be?
Yeah. So I'm really glad you mentioned that hopeful part, because even though, you know, lyrically the songs are all born out of kind of pain and heartache, I got through the whole thing because of hope. Mm-hmm. Hope is what keeps me going. And so I want that to come through in the music. And I would say that probably some of the signature sonic qualities to my music are, for one, my guitar playing style. So I play the guitar a bit different than most. I play upside down and backwards.
All right.
So technically a mirror image of Jimi Hendrix. Uh-huh. But it's fun. I've learned that people like Paul McCartney plays that way, and Albert King played that way. Mm-hmm. And Doyle Bramhall, who plays guitar with Eric Clapton, plays that way. And basically my parents didn't know how to play guitar. So when I was a kid, they bought me a right-handed guitar, but I'm left-handed.
Right.
So I just took the right-handed guitar and flipped it over. So the strings are all inverted. And that creates, when strumming and picking, it creates a different pattern. So just by virtue of how I play, it sounds different. And then I have this kind of hollow body guitar with a single pickup in the middle, which is kind of a nice blend of tones. And I run that through if you look at it, is a very intense pedal board, but every pedal has its own purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's a thick sound, with a slight kind of tremolo, because to me it feels like, you know, that's kind of like our the heartbeat, but it's subtle enough that you don't so much hear it as you do feel it, and reverb and delay. So those are kind of the hallmarks of my particular sound. And I play this electric guitar more like an acoustic. So I do a lot of finger picking backwards and upside down, which has its own kind of strange sound. And then through that chain, and it creates a very particular type of guitar style. And then vocally, you know, I no one would say that I have a country voice, but I was raised in the South, even though my parents are from the North. And so there's a hint of Southern twang in my voice that comes through. And I also have, I love harmonies, harkening back to, you know, those early influences. But on the record, the harmonies are all done by females. So it's a lead male vocal with female harmonies, and you don't hear that in a lot of genres. You hear it in country, you hear it in R&B and soul, but not a lot elsewhere.
Sure, sure. Well, tell us about the new single that's coming out in June as well that you've been working on.
So it's the first Happy Tin Man song. ironically, it's hypothetical. it's called Can You Feel My Love? And it's an upbeat kind of, you know, slightly dancier, but it still has the same guitar tone, still has the same harmony. All the signature qualities are there. It's just, you know, it has a bit more of that four on the floor, get your foot tapping kind of beat to it. And the song is, I wrote it because I've lived in Atlanta almost my entire life. And I've threatened to move countless times, whether it's to Nashville or New York or LA. And, and so the, you know, at the time I wrote it, which is about a year ago now, I wrote it with my dear friend, Vanessa Olivares, who also did all the backing vocals on my EP. And I had this idea for the chorus, and I liked this just simple, can you feel my love line. And when I was playing around with verse ideas, it was really all about being tired of being in the city that I was in. And what I was thinking about was, what would make Atlanta feel new again? What would excite me to be here longer? And it was, well, I mean, if I met the woman of my dreams, that would totally change the way I looked at my situation. So it was written kind of in a hopeful place of meeting that person that changes your perspective on your current situation, and then, you know, kind of making sure that they know the impact they've had on you.
Right. Is this single going to be a part of a full-length album later on?
It's a great question. That's kind of TBD right now. It's one of those things that my sound has so many different elements to it. Like, some people say it sounds country. Other people say it sounds rock. Other people say it sounds singer-songwriter. Other people say things sounds Americana. Other people say it sounds pop. And I think the future of the sound is a little up in the air right now, because I've got a backlog of 15 to 20 songs that I'm excited to put out there, but they span the spectrum of, you know, quintessential Americana songwriter to four on the floor kind of, you know, top 40 dance.
Right.
You know, maintain all the elements. So I want to use this as kind of like a little testing ground and see how people react to it, and to help me figure out where I want to go next. So it might, but it might not. Well, that's kind of TBD.
Right. So, and do you have some summer tour dates coming up as well too?
I've got a couple summer shows planned. Kind of hitting some of the key markets, Atlanta, New York, Nashville. My manager right now is, you know, talking to some other folks, trying to get me on a couple bills as direct support. So we'll see where that falls and how that unfolds. And then also in the kind of early stages of planning out a UK and Ireland tour, for later this fall, which I'm excited about.
That's cool. Yeah. That would be great too. So it sort of seems that even though you've kind of broken past, you know, being an entrepreneur, being a lawyer and all that, that the Tin Man, if you will, is still on a journey. Where do you see that journey kind of going?
Absolutely. So when I first kind of came back from from Spain with that new perspective. And when I made the commitment that now is the time and music is going to be the priority. Music is going to be the 80-90% of my time. And knowing that it was going to take a long time for that to grow into a sustainable livelihood. So I kind of spent some time reverse engineering bands that had a modicum of success that I wanted to achieve. So people who are selling out, you know, 500 to 600 person venues, who maybe had a song or two licensed in television shows or commercials, who, you know, had solid followings on Spotify and social media. And I kind of looked at them and I just backtracked. Like, well, how many records do you have out? When did you release your first one? And any kind of news articles I could find kind of describing the early days. And what I realized is, in the music world, to get to that point, which I would consider to be successful, even though most people probably wouldn't have heard of that band yet, at best takes 5 years. That's the shortest, and is typically more of an 8 to 10 year kind of path. So, you know, I created kind of an arc of what it might look like realistically in 5 years to get to a point like that. And I'm kind of at the 3 year mark right now. So some things are starting to happen, like Spotify picked up two of the tracks off my EP onto Discover Weekly about 2 months ago, which has been, you know, dramatically growing my listener base on Spotify, which is super exciting, hopefully setting the stage for Can You Feel My Love? And social media. And so I'm starting to see a pickup, and if a couple other things happen, then I think it can continue on that trajectory. So my goal is by the end of that 5 years to be in that 500 to 600 person club kind of tour with, you know, with a couple licenses under my belt, maybe even a couple festivals. You know, I'd love to hit the festival circuit. Right. So that's, you know, that's my hope for 2019. And then I also have a very interesting, play in the kind of television space. So it's a series that, that actually focuses on four singer-songwriters, myself being one of them. It's a scripted series. So it's going to feel more like a, like your typical television show where you fall in love with the characters and the story, and you think it's all fake, but then you realize, wait, these people are actually kind of, they're using the real names and they're using the real music, and they're playing hyperbolized version of themselves, you know, but so it's like this weird blend of fiction and reality. And there's some traction is coming around that. So if something like that gets released and gets pushed out to a broader audience, it might help expedite that path a little bit.
Sure. Well, right now, where can people find your current music and then your new single that's coming out? And this new single's coming out June 2nd, right?
That is correct. Yep. June 2nd is the release date.
Where can people find your music then?
So you can find it everywhere. So what I always tell, I always ask people, I'm also curious to know, what do you listen to?
Right, exactly.
Whatever you listen to, the key is to search for The Tin Man. Three words, and you have to use the. Otherwise, it tends to go to a German DJ. So The Tin Man, or they can go to thetinmanmusic.com, and I aggregate everything there and can send people wherever they're comfortable.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.